Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good evening. I'm John Batchelor. Tonight, I discuss with Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, written after the Civil War. Its purpose at the time was to enfranchise those who were not, chiefly the former slaves of the South. However, there is a clause in it addressing those who had been in rebellion and whether or not they could rejoin the government and serve in offices in the government. There's the word insurrection used as well. The fresh controversy is that there are strong voices saying this amendment and the details about insurrection and office holders and office can be applied to the former President Donald Trump, who's now a candidate for the Republican nomination for the presidency, can be employed to disenfranchise Donald Trump. It's a debate, and Richard Epstein enters into it. It turns on the definition of words such as office and officer and insurrection and the expectation of those who wrote the amendment in 1865 to 1868, that period of time that was fraught right after the Civil War, filled with poverty and people wondering and no special future because of the wounds of the war, the damage to families. Not a stable time. And that doesn't describe where we are today, but in any event, the 14th Amendment is back in the news. I also discuss with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution the ironies of the impeachment of Donald Trump once upon a time for his conversation with Ukraine over his allegation that Joe Biden and his son and his family had profited illicitly or in some fashion corruptly from Ukraine. It's an elaborate argument that was made during the impeachment, and it failed, as impeachments do if you don't have two-thirds of the Senate to convict. But in any event, the fresh news about this is that there are new allegations being advanced by the Republican House of Representatives that same conversation turned around from the other side is evidence of Joe Biden, when vice president, in the office in December of 2015, engaged with his son in what is called influence peddling, which is, to my knowledge, not a crime, but certainly an evidence of corruption. The Republicans are advancing it in their conversation about impeachment. Now to world affairs. I begin with Harry Siegel in New York. The migrant crisis does not solve itself. Right now there's talk by the Homeland Security in Washington and by City Hall about work permits or some kind of document that will allow the perhaps up to 100,000 migrants to work in and around New York City while they're sustained by the generosity of the city and the people of New York, shelter, sustenance, and schooling for their children, up to 21,000 children. This does not solve anything. It does give the migrants a way to make some money while they figure out their lives. They're Spanish speaker, French speaker, Arabic speaker. They've come to a city that is fluent in Spanish, and commonplacedly you can exist in New York with Spanish language. So that is a positive. The mayor, however, is extremely upset, and Harry Siegel of the city explicates how upset Mayor Adams has become and what frustration this is at City Hall. Also, I speak to my longtime friend, Simon Constable. He's in the south of France, in a very happy place, on a former estate, farm country around him, sunflowers bringing in from the harvest, wheat everywhere, wild boars at the back door. This is an Englishman in the south of France with his wife, Jenny, and they're enjoying themselves, but I ask Simon lessons learned from the first year of moving from Scotland, Edinburgh, to the south of France. There are lessons here. Chiefly, Simon says, don't listen to anybody, just do it. He's enjoying himself enormously, learning French as best he can, and enjoying the seasons in the south of France. Paradise. Churchill would appreciate this. Also, a conversation with Jeff McCausland, Colonel United States Army, retired CBS News, about Poland's request for tactical nuclear weapons to be based in Poland and or F-35s that are fitted to carry gravity bombs, nuclear weapon gravity bombs. This to match the Russian nuclear weapons that are said to be based in Belarus, announced by Mr. Putin some weeks ago. The whole debate about NATO and forward deploying nuclear weapons is reopened. Many parts of NATO now have nuclear weapons, and some of these parts are not happy about bearing that burden. Poland would be eager, is eager, to bear that burden. And that debate, Jeff assures me, will come back when the NATO countries meet again in Washington in 2024. Also, we look at the remark by General Milley that there are 30 to 45 days left in the counteroffensive season before the weather changes and mitigates the ability of people to go on offense. At the same time, there was special forces for Ukraine making a raid on the Crimean coast at Sevastopol, setting buildings on fire. And that scale can continue through the winter months. And then a conversation, at lengthy conversation, about China, People's Republic of China, addressing the matter of China's renminbi, which is weakening, very weak, and because of the weak economy, about China's aggression in the South China Sea against the Philippines, Second Thomas Shoals, Philippine territory, clearly, but China's so-called Coast Guard trying to intimidate Filipino military personnel. And then the overall question about China's health these days. It's very difficult to measure. And one way to watch health, or in this case, the suggestion of not health, is that major figures in the government keep disappearing without explanation. The foreign minister some weeks ago, since then there have been generals, command of the rocket forces or deputy in charge of the rocket forces. Those are the nuclear weapons in China's parlance. And now the defense minister, just gone. And the suggestion by Gordon Chang and his colleague Charles Burton is that we're not sure what this means, but it doesn't mean a positive for Xi Jinping. He did skip the G20. He's not evidencing that he's going to travel to the UN gathering later this month. The disruption in China could be the economy, could be a challenge to Xi's leadership now that he's elected for an indefinite third period. In any event, lots of speculation. David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy also joins us to talk about the meeting of Kim, the dictator of North Korea, a failed state, at Vostochny, the half-built rocket base in Siberia with Vladimir Putin. For show and what else? Vladimir Putin needs the artillery shells that North Korea has in storage. Up to 1 million shells, David says. North Korea needs everything, but perhaps rocket technology will be satisfying. North Korea has failed to launch 2 spy satellites. Roscosmos is pretty good at it. Perhaps they're trading. And later on tonight, Josh Rogan is back from the Southeast Asia trip of the Vice President Harris, to Jakarta, where she met with the President of Indonesia and conferred with members of the ASEAN conference, seated with Prime Minister Kishida of Japan and President Marcos of the Philippines. This is the 4th trip by the Vice President to that part of the world where she's developing relationships, in-person relationships with the leaders in the event of a second term and in the event of her ambition to be president someday. The Vice President speaks well of making friends in that region because Russia and China both have opportunities where the U.S. doesn't show up. In this case, it would be China. And then finally, a note on SpaceX still waiting for FAA approval at Boca Chica, Texas, for the next test launch of Starship and Super Heavy. I discuss what is the prospect of that being advanced with Bob Zimmerman of Behind the Black. There's more. Enjoy. Thank you.